You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. As we look at thy word, God, may thy word find a home in our heart. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, as we go back in history, God, that you would help us understand then that we might benefit now. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, you're going to recall in the awesome benefits that have been given in chapter 14 and 15. Awesome benefits, and in the light of his soon his crucifixion just hours away. And all of that is going to take place. And so therefore, they are to be exercised with an understanding that all of this is going to happen because of their personal relationship to the Lord God in the person of Christ. They are, as we shared in John 15, they are to be the branches. He is to be the vine. And they are to enjoy his peace. And he uses the pronoun my all the way through. It's very personal to him, to God, about one's relationship to God. It's personal. And therefore, they need to understand that, very much so. My peace, my joy, my life, my love, my friends, my sheep, etc. All of those, and much, much, much more, are to be understood and experienced and enjoyed. All of what I just mumbled out is to be a wonderful, wonderful experience for the believing heart on planet Earth. That's what God intended. That's what God wants. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and we share together, as we did last time at the end, my sheep, and God reminds us and reminded them more than once that they were sheep in the midst of wolves. And that's the way it was. And we share together, which is very important, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to be crucified, keep in mind, he is the Lamb, T-H-E, the. He is the Lamb to be crucified, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So that's very important because the world hates him and the system is hostile against him. Against whom? Him. Who is he? He's the Lamb. He is the Lion. There's no question. But not yet. He's just the Lamb. And the little Lamb is under attack by the great hordes of humanity out to get him. They don't want God. They don't want God to go to the cross and die. And if he dies, they aren't going to go along with it. Because God, what are you saying to them? They're guilty. They need to be saved. There is no hope. There is no help. They're lost, dead, in trespasses and sin. And unless I go to the cross as the Lamb, the sacrifice, the perfect substitute, the wonderful, wonderful Savior, unless I do this, all is lost. And that cannot be. God is not a loser in any way, shape, or form in your life. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, in the light of that, and the human history, world system loves darkness. They love a state of lifelessness. That doesn't mean they don't have physical life. They sure do. But they don't have a relationship to God. And that's a state of death. Therefore, they have their politic, and they have their positions and possessions and power. They have all of these things that we pursue. We pursue what we want. We desire and pursue what we'd like to have and get. And we pursue our thinking, how we want to think and how we want to feel. We do it. It's all about us and how we look at everything in our little world as we understand it and how we think about it. And we like that. And that's what the world does. That's why all the different cultures and countries, conflicts, chaos, corruption all over the place. Why? Because everyone's doing what? Their thing. They're doing what they want, right in their own eyes, as judges would say. Now, so therefore, God, here we are looking, and comfort and safety are not to be found in you, in God's wonderful person. They're not to be found in Calvary's cross. So here we are looking at God's kindness and grace, and in the light of that, the disciples are being exercised and experienced. They have been exercised and experienced. They have faced indirectly by being with the Lord hostility. They have faced the hatred of the people by way of being with the Lord. They were with the one who was hated, the one who is not desired. So therefore, or if you would, I'm going back to come forward in the light of this event before the crucifixion, hours before the crucifixion, going back in time. He's going to say something, but you need to know why he says it. So therefore, going back to Matthew chapter 10, Thank you. Matthew chapter 10, and picking up, if I may, remember this is they're being sent forth, the 12 are being sent forth to go and bear witness in the towns. They're going to find persecution, et cetera, as you read in your scripture reading. They're going to find that. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now they're going, and as they're going to experience shaking the dust off their feet, they're going to experience what he does, a hostility, a hatred, because they're bringing, what are they saying to make that happen? Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that's what John the Baptist did. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what did they do to John the Baptist? They took his head. What are the disciples, as they're going out preaching, shaking the dust off their feet, finding hostility, they're preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's the message, and the people are responding to that message, and that was the message they gave as they went forth, and as they did so. So now, keeping that in mind, if you would, as they're going, and so therefore, the kingdom of heaven, and remember over in verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And now here they experience this. They experienced when they preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand that the people just didn't want to hear that message. They didn't want that. Now, having said that, let's go a step further over to Matthew chapter 16. Thank you. And Matthew chapter 16. May I pick up, please, in verse 21. Our Lord, I'm going to read verse 20 even. And then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. He's telling about his crucifixion. Now, that's what he's telling him about. That's what's going to happen. That's what's coming up. Now, and how did the disciples, where are they listening to the what? Just ahead of that, the context, chapter 16, and in verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Now, I want to know what you guys are saying. Well, they don't know what to say, but God helps Peter. God does. And therefore, you have verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter, God gave you that answer. Are you understanding Peter, James, and John? That he's the Son of God? No, not yet. We haven't got it yet. But so far, that we know that the town, the people, the village, the nation, does not go for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the Lord said, listen, I want you to know, I'm putting that aside. No more kingdom at hand. No, I did my part. I gave them opportunity, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I gave them opportunity by John the Baptist. I gave them opportunity, for I said the same thing, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I sent you guys out, and you said the same thing, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No more. We're done with that. We're going where? We're going now to fulfill what it's all about. I'm going to the cross, chapter 21. Verse 21, I should say. 16 to 21 you read. I'm going to the cross. That's where I'm going. What is John chapter 15 and 16 about? I'm about to go to the cross. Hang on to that. I'm doing something new. You don't even understand it. You might have read and could even say a little bit about Isaiah 53. But you don't know. You don't know who I am. Remember, the Lord Jesus is going to say it right in front of him. Philip, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. You're looking at him. They haven't caught on, but they will. But God is preparing them and helping them. They don't even understand what's going to happen, but God's going to help them. And in the process, he's going to be crucified. So the hostility and the hatred that is zeroed in on him is now going to be transferred to them. But not yet. But they don't know that. They don't even understand that. Not yet. Now, hang on. And in the light of that, so in the light of all of that, over to John chapter 6. The Gospel of John in chapter 6. And may I pick up, please, the thought. John chapter 6, picking up the thought in the light of chapter 6, going back there as we were there. Verse 15. 6 and 15. What did the disciples, as they were with him for 3 1/3 years, what did the disciples experience as they were with him, going hither and yon? What did they hear when they were with him? Here's the crowd of Jews, and they are responding to his feeding them and doing every healing them, responding. Chapter 6, verse 15. And you remember, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, they're going to force him, carry him, to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. They were going to force him to be the king. They would force him. You're king. We need a king. Here's a king. You can heal us. You can feed. And you can fight our battles for us. That's what a king. But he disappeared. Here's Peter, James, and John. Apparently, he doesn't want to be a king. Aha, go further, a little further, if I can. Verse 26. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seed, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Their whole reasoning system is out. Verse 29, Jesus, remember they said, what can we do to work the works of God? And Jesus said, verse 29, and Jesus answered and said unto them, 6 and 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Work, singular. They want to know what they could do, plural. God tells them what they can do, period, one thing. Believe him. And that's the hostility. So the disciples are exposed to the Jews' thinking, they're Jews, and they're exposed to the responses he makes to the Jews. And so the hostility and hatred back and forth, but they're caught up in, what's wrong with being a king? Aren't you a king? What's wrong with doing all these things? What's wrong with letting the people see your wonderful things? Well, God was doing that. But that wasn't what it was about. It was about his going to the cross and dying on the cross. So therefore, in God's awesome movement, chapter 15. And in chapter 15, picking up the thought, verse 18, remember we were there, and the Lord Jesus said in this same time frame, verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So verse 19, and if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you, my sheep, my joy, my peace, my love, my friends, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, that's what he said, the world hates you because you did that. So it's very personal, but it hasn't got personal to them yet. It hasn't connected to them, and that's the issue that we're looking at. Now, so having said that, chapter 14 and verse 15. And we keep looking, chapter 14 and in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 20. At that day, if you honor me, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's what you're going to know in a most awesome, wonderful way. So God the Holy Spirit is going to go and have a wonderful, wonderful work done in the heart of these dear disciples, and it's going to be an awesome thing. Now, having said that, and their old nature, the world system, the satanic system, 1, 2, 3, nature, world system we live in, all the rest of us humans, and then we go to the satanic system over it, all of that loves darkness better than light. And that's why it's so hard. You would think it'd be hard. You would think it'd be so easy just to believe God, right? But it isn't. You read and believe it, but you watch how you have to overcome your old nature that won't believe it. You have to understand that. Your old nature hates what God would do for you. It's against it. You have to understand that. That's why otherwise we'd be able to live gloriously powerful lives. But we can't. We struggle along just to be a little bit believing and not carnal too much and not in the world too much. That's all we do. We aren't triumphant running down the road. Not that you guys aren't doing it. I'm just trying to tell you, the system isn't doing it because it isn't easy. Hang on. Now, it's your old nature. I got to know that, the rascal. So now, over, if I can, in the light of that, chapter 60. And in chapter 16, you will notice, therefore have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Remember the trap stick with a bait and the trap falls down and catches the animal and that to stumble to get trapped, trapped and tricked, etc., etc. Now, I don't want you to, and we did a little bit of this, so you understand. It's offensive. I'm telling you, you're my sheep. And that doesn't sit well with your old nature. No, your new, all the things I'm telling you, you're offended. Your old nature doesn't want it. That's why, without taking time to read there, what are you going to say, Lord, in Matthew 26 and that? What? And he says it to the right in front of him. All you, his disciples, John is going to be one that will be found there, but all of them are going to be offended when I'm crucified. You're all going to disappear. All you guys that think you're going to hang in there, you're all going to disappear when I go to that cross. Goodbye. You're all going. You're offended. Why are you saying this, chapter 16, verse 1? I don't want you to be offended. The trouble is you don't understand what on earth God is doing and why he's doing it, and you need to. And that's when it, why. So God, now you're going to level with him. Level. And so therefore, God, after you just told them that, don't be offended. Then he says, verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. They're going to put you out of the synagogues. That's what they're going to do. Now, he's telling them what's going to happen. You're going to be put out of the synagogue. The synagogue was the place where they go and meet as Jews to honor God and exercise a relationship to God in some fashion, at least in a physical way, a mental way. Now, so they'll be knowing what, as if they're following God's word, and they're going to follow God's word. And if you do, you're going to understand what? In verse 2, that you're going to, the synagogues, they just aren't going to accommodate you. They are not going to be interested. It's very public to go to the synagogues, etc. Over, if you would, chapter 9 in the book of John, chapter 9, picking it up just to see it. Remember it. We did it in chapter 9. Just to remind you, they're going to be, and there won't be a strange thing because here's this blind man, etc. And chapter 9, and picking up, please, if I can, in verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So if you're going to be put out, a minute, right now you aren't, because the whole ball game is firing at the Lord Jesus Christ. They aren't bothering anyone down below. But once he steps aside and he puts those disciples, apostles, up on the top, they're going to get it. And the synagogue, the Jews are not going to honor you. They hate you. They're hostile. Look, if you would, what you think of chapter 12. And in chapter 12, picking up, please, in thought, 12 and 42. Therefore, verse Nicodemus, hang on. chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, for many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Why? Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to. No one wants to be left out. The centerpiece is the synagogue. It's where we go. It's where we belong. Find our security, our safety, our certainty. But they're going to be kicked out. They aren't going to be let them in. They're not going to let them in. In fact, they're not only going to not let them in the synagogue, the time is going to come that they think they're doing God a favor by killing you. Wow. Wow. Now, keeping that in front of you, if you would, are they going to do, because they're doing God a service, a religious sacrifice. Now, and so you aren't surprised at that, are you? They did that. That's what they did. Now, and the Apostle Paul, look with me over there, if you hang on for that, over to Acts chapter 8. Acts in chapter 8. And you will note as the time changed, the day of Pentecost and all of the excitement, and etc. And then things zeroed in to the whole situation again, because the Jews saw that the whole thing, we thought we got rid of him, we couldn't find his body, but that was fine. But here we got the whole problem all over again. Here is the Lord again in these men and women, boys and girls. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul, King Paul, was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Now, the persecution came, huge persecution. That's why the offering was taken up to help them, for they were in such straits. Now, having said that, the persecution, and Saul of Tarsus, he's persecuting them. Now, hang on, over if you would, and you'll notice, consenting unto his death, chapter 9 and verse 1. Here's the conversion of Saul. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the way, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And so what's he doing? Terrible persecution. The Lord said, don't be offended. Don't be offended. I want you to know they're going to kick you out of the synagogues, and they're going to think they're doing me a favor when they kill you. Now, without taking a break out of order maybe, I'm not going to read it to you all, but all 12 apostles, including later Barnabas and Paul, making note of them. And that includes the new Matthias, the one who filled in for Judas who hung himself. Now, all of them died. Hey, I'm just going to give you a couple in the light of the history of history's right. Here's Matthew, suffered martyrdom by the sword in Ethiopia. Mark died in Alexandria after being dragged through the streets, etc., streets of the city. Luke was hanged on an olive tree, etc. James, the less, was thrown from a pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death when he hit the ground. Bartholomew was flayed, cut in pieces, alive, etc. All of them. God said, I told you. Didn't I tell you? Now, you remember, it's a cost. There's a cost. You're going to be identified, so identified, that the world system's going to come. Do you remember, you know, our Declaration of Independence? 55, 56 men signed that. And then they put it aside until August or whatever it was, put it aside because if anyone got a hand in it ahead of time, they knew they would be slaughtered and killed by the British. And all of them ended up, I think, I didn't study all of those lives, ended up what? Same thing as these guys. It cost them family, friends, job. It cost them. It cost. God said it cost. That's what I want you to know. I'm telling you it cost. So you don't think this is a picnic, what I'm doing. I'm telling you the awesomeness of what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. You guys are normal in the world, old nature, and try to fit in everything. You won't have a problem. But if you're going to enjoy being a new creature in Christ, going to be enjoy being my peace, my joy, my sheep, then you have to understand the problem. Light, bright, darkness hates it. So turn out the light. Now, having said that a little bit, back over, if you would, over to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, picking up, please, in verse 3. These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. They're going to know. If they knew, they would never do it. They don't want to know God in his awesome majesty. They won't want to know, say it simply another way, that God out there somewhere in the universe is personally attending his property at this time. And he's going to hold accountable all that you do on his piece of property. He's going to hold accountable. I don't believe that. God, think of it, where do people think God is? If there is a God, Buddhist, whatever you want, where is God? There is no God. And if there is one, he don't care. He isn't involved. So easy, isn't it? Isn't it easy? We are able to go to work, school, home, watch the basketball game. No problem. No problem. No problem at all. We don't have a God. We do, but we don't. And that's how we live. That's how we live. God said once the light comes on, they can't do that, and they can't. They're going to hate that. And I want you to know, like in verse 3, if they knew me, they would never do it. If they knew God as God, what would give another way to see that. In Revelation chapter 6, remember the end as you come to chapter 6, the end of the seals. And as you go to the end seal, what do you find? And God tells you what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to open heaven up like a scroll, like a curtain. I'm going to open it up like all the stars and everything. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to make myself known in an awesome way. And everyone on planet Earth is going to run and hide in rocks anywhere at all. From what? The end verse. To save them from the wrath of God. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. When God decides to say, listen, enough of the, I'm going to help you. And when they know, and they are going to, no one's going to do that. No, not then. Well, God doesn't care. I can do what I want. Well, you can. There's no question. Verse 4. But these things have I told you, that, these things have I told you, that I told you, that when the time come, shall come, you may remember that I told you them of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning. I didn't say him then. Why didn't you say him in Matthew chapter 10? No, I said, I want you to go and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's going to come where you're going to honor me. You're my witnesses. That's a different ball game. A different ball game. And you need to know that. I didn't tell you this at the beginning. A, you couldn't have understood it. You wouldn't have even, couldn't even, in fact, that's why I told you. Remember John 16, verse 20? He told them, don't tell anybody what you just said, Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Shut up, Peter. They aren't ready. You aren't ready to say it. You have to know me to properly eject and honor me. Now, if you don't know me, how could you possibly honor me? You see. So God, you're dealing with the heart, and the heart gets, the heart's a nasty rascal. We're going to do the heart tonight, maybe. Now, so these things will they do unto you. Verse 4. The time shall come, and may remember that I told you them, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. And by the way, you can't just catch it quickly. I'm not going to tell you anything else. I'm not going to tell you any more of what's going to happen. No more. Enough. I told you what's going to happen to you. More details? I'm not going to tell you any more. God, what do we say? God, in our little lives, God, we're looking to God, somebody, somehow, how's my job going to go? How's my health going to go? How's the medical report going to go? How's the children going to go? How's the school going to go? How? Now God, and then you open up, and God gives you 35 verses, 35 statements of how the next year is going to work out for you. But he doesn't. He doesn't, because you and I couldn't handle it. We shared that before. God said, you don't need to know. I'll tell you everything you need to know. That's what he's doing. I'm telling you, it's no picnic coming up if you're going to honor me. Do you know what it says? Over, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, I should say. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. A simple statement in the light of the last days. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, that's the only place you can do it, shall suffer persecution. Now, why isn't that true? Why isn't that true? I ask myself that. I'm looking out. It's the places of the world. Don't get me wrong. We're in a special place in the God's grace. Otherwise, what? We'd be there in Malaysia or Iran or Iraq or one of the countries, Venezuela or somewhere else, Cuba, so wherever you want to go, and persecution is there. And a fellow that goes into the pulpit and speaks. I just read a thing about it in China. When they took him out, main guy, all he said is that Chinese government is not compatible with the Bible. That's all. And prison, etc. And in the process. We aren't like that. So I said, why would God? We don't have that, fortunately, in God's grace. Not yet, anyway. Where it's coming, but not yet. So God, what if we go live godly? A God like a God in your life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're his witnesses, my peace, my joy. And you recognize being saved. You are saved. You enjoy being saved in a most wonderful way. And you just try to live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. And you try to do that. And God bless you and encourage your heart. But to the point, people like it. That they don't. You don't swear like we do. You don't talk like we do. You don't like our jokes. You don't like how we do things. We don't like the happy hours and the sad hours and the places we do and go. You know what can I tell you? What can I tell you? Like in Peter. How come you don't run with us anymore? See, they're different. You were different. We should be different. Nothing wrong with being different. Now God having said that, keeping that in mind, so then I'd ask myself quickly, what's the problem? What do we know at the end of the age? What do we know about Israel? Israel was to be a special nation, and it would have been the nation of nations. How did Israel survive in the world system? By becoming like the world system. And the Assyrian Syrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, they became just like the system. They are just like the system today. They're just Jews. And there's no problem. Oh, we hate the Jews, no question. The anti-Semitism, very high. But apart from that, the Christians in that, no, there's no problem. No, because you see, in the process of that, the Jews just adapted. And they fit in. They fit in all over the world. They like fitting in. That's why they vote like they do. I wish you could fix their voting, you know. They vote. Don't want to be persecuted. Ooh, okay, anyway, that's crazy. So now, in the light of that, God, here we are. But what does the church do? The church in the New Testament didn't have the New Testament that you have in your hand. All they had is the Old Testament and God. And man, did they turn the world upside down. Yes, they did. And who's going to fight them? Well, you can't fight them too much. Not when they're in that position. You don't mess with them then. No. But, as we lose that, and we slow down, like Israel did when they conquered Joshua and all that, they conquered the land and did all that. And they slow down. Next thing you know, the period of the judges, we do that which is right in our own eyes. So here we are looking, we slow down, and in the process, what do? The church. What happened? Persecution. Terrible persecution. That's why we just read a little bit of all these disciples died. Apostles died. Violent deaths. Wow. That's awesome. It is. Now, and so what did that do? That made the whole Christian everything, the fires, the burnings, Nero, whatever it was, 6,000 Christians lined up, set on fire as you come down the road. Wow. Crucified, I should say. Wow. Fire would have been something else. Wow. God, here we are looking. Aha. Yes, we are. Now, God, what do they do? Constantine in 313, he was a co-emperor, and he and the other emperor went and combined, and they made it able to tolerate Christianity. Now that takes the pressure off because they're getting persecuted, but to be a Christian, boy, did you get it. But now the Edict of Milan, etc., toleration. But, and then, that was one thing. 380 years later, not 380 years, but 380, 60 years later, what do we know? The Christianity became the state religion of Rome. The state religion of Rome. And then, what is Rome? Christian, you see. America, Christian nation. Aha. Now, so what happens when we get all this? Well, we got Christians. Now, what do? The church came and sat in the pew, and the people in the pew sat in the church, and they became one. And the world came in with its music, its thought, its thinking, its philosophy, its thinking about God and religions and reformed and covenant and a thousand zillion things coming in. What does it do? It leaves us with Genesis, Revelation 3 and verse 15, 16, 17. Laodicea, And Laodicea, what do you say? We don't need anything, God. We're rich and got enough. We're able to have our entertainment. We're able to have our people. And we're able to compete with the other religions, able to compete with the hostility, the anger. No. Do I care whether you go to over to so-and-so-and-so-and-so and you're able to have a basketball game if you want it and whatever, and donuts and coffee and whatever, and you don't have to, music, it doesn't matter. That's no offense to the world. That's no offense to darkness. It's quite acceptable. Laodicea, why no persecution? Because we're at the end. And that's why you won't find it at work, generally speaking, what we're reading. What was, what isn't, what will be. That's why you don't see it. Because no one cares. What do they care? And us, just me, I don't know, anyone knows I exist. I don't have a computer. They don't know. You know, the websites and electronic worlds, you know, you just have to stay hidden under your desk. They can't find you. Wow. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. And there's no offense. Just a little group of people that believe the Bible, but you're such a little group. Churches, Baptist, Methodist, Southern Baptist, and Bob Jones even. I just got Bob Jones, and I should be careful. And the other one out there on the West Coast. Wow. What can I tell you? Nothing. Wow. Huh. No, there's no offense. There's no offense, not with them. It's with you that you believe Jesus Christ has found his residence in your heart and that you are you're his sheep, you have his peace, his joy, his love, his friendship, and that's the problem. Because if you're walking around enjoying a unique personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and thus to God, you are an offense. Don't enjoy it. Just try to fit in everywhere. Just enjoy being saved, and you'll be a pain in the neck. And you won't even try to be. Just don't try to be. I don't try to. I don't go to the waitress and tell her that you got to be saved, and here's a track, you know. She can serve me or not. Or he or she, whatever it is. Wow, I see. God, there is no offense. No. We're at the end of the age. Therefore, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. I just wanted to get you to see what was and what would be and what will be again in the tribulation. Why will it be in the tribulation, which we're looking at 6:00? Why? Because God is exercising his wrath straightway. And the devil's busy being the devil big time, Antichrist. Big time. It's dark and right, light and dark, all very clear, coming up. Wow. Now, God, you got to help us. So therefore, in closing, but I appreciate your patience and everything, over to Romans. Romans chapter 8 again. Thank you for your patience, and bear with me as I struggle through this. Romans chapter 8, you remember, sheep amidst wolves. God, you didn't make us lions amidst wolves. You didn't. No, you made us little old sheep. That's right, because we represent whom? We represent the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And you want a lion, yet you're a sheep. That's who you represent. Now, chapter 8 and verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, for the killing. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And no matter that's what you read in Matthew 10, remember? Don't be afraid of anybody that kills your body. You better be honoring me. I have the body and the soul. And you're going to be able to survive quite comfortably. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we're living. Wolves all around, darkness, no question. And the church is wants to be loved and fit in and say, well, no, it isn't quite right. And then you aren't going to be liked if you tell them it. That isn't quite what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be honoring the living and only God who died on the cross for us. Wow, I got to quit. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, here we are. So deal with us. Thank you very, very much, God. Honor yourself. Spirit of God, thank you. Lord, thank you. And my Father, thank you. So deal with us, and our God, we're going to look to you. You have safety, encouragement, God, that we would understand. You told us. We cannot say you did not tell us. You did not warn us. You did not give us heads up of what it would be and what would be involved in knowing you as our Lord and Savior. God, you did tell us. You told us just enough so that we would go into the week and the next week, if you tarry and we live, facing and finding whatever is there in your grace and mercy. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.